But I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me. Shall we pray? Jesus, we thank you so much. God, your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Bless, God, the souls that have come today, those that are online. God, those that are together with us today, we praise you. We thank you. God, we're always quick to give you all the praise, all the glory. Anoint your word. Anoint the message and the messenger, I pray. In that matchless and mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message titled, Open the Door. Open the door. Ever since the fall of mankind from the garden of God's paradise, the knock at the door has always been there. In the lives of some, it has been subtle, and for a host of humanity, at least it has been persistent. Only recently, as the coming of and the anticipated return of Jesus Christ is upon us, the knocking upon the door of the hearts of people has become louder and more urgent than it has ever before. Amen. Jesus loves his people. Jesus loves you. His desire is for you to spend your eternity with him one day in his paradise. God had come and he had manifested in flesh. He died on Calvary and he rose again. And one day he's going to come back and take his people home.
Amen.
In the life of a man named Job, the knocking upon his door is that which he in his life could no longer ignore. For as the knocking persisted, it was Job who finally went to the door. Who's there? Job called out. It's me, Jesus, a voice on the other side replied. Surprised, Job paused for a moment before asking, what do you want? I want you to open the door and welcome me in, Jesus replied. Standing motionless for a moment as Job closed his eyes and he tried to wake himself from what he knew had to be a dream. Opening his eyes, he placed his ear to the door and he asked, are you still there? Yes, Jesus answered in reply. Taking a step back, Job felt his heart sink to the pit of his stomach, and suddenly he found himself questioning everything he had come to believe. The one who he thought only existed between the pages of a book, the Bible, now stood only a few feet away. Pausing for another moment, Job struggled with what to do. While part of him wanted to walk away and forget this had ever happened, he could not. He felt drawn to the one who was knocking upon his door. Mm-hmm. Crossing his arm, Job asked, so tell me, why should I let you in? And what makes you think that I even believe in you? There was a time when you did believe in me, Job. Yeah, when I was a child. So what made you stop? Jesus asked. I don't know, Joe snapped. I grew up. Oh, okay. So one day you just decided you were too old to believe in me. Well, yeah, something like that, Joe replied. Annoyed, Joe lit up a cigarette and he began pacing the floor. So tell me about that day. Joe stopped dead in his tracks. It had been 15 years since that day. Taking a final drag from his cigarette, Joe fought hard to control the anger he felt welling up within him. The silence that followed only added to his rage. Clenching his fist, Joe spun around and he glared at the door. Fine. You want to know about that day? Well, here it is. It was the day you took my mother from me. Yes, I remember that day, Jesus replied. I remember? That's all you have to say? Well, why don't you explain to me how when I begged you to heal her, you didn't? I did heal her, Jesus replied. How do you consider that healing her? Joe replied. He shook his head in disbelief. Tell me, Joe, what's the definition of healing? Joe walked over to the bookshelf and he pulled out a dictionary. Opening it up, he looked up the word heal. The dictionary defines heal as to make a person or an injury healthy and whole, Joe said. And I still don't understand how you can say you healed her when you let her die. You don't understand because you're limiting your views and your ideas to those of man and the physical world. If I had healed her the way you wanted, it would have only been temporary. I instead chose to heal her for all eternity by bringing her home to me. Joe could feel tears beginning to stream down his face. Sliding his back against the door, he sat down on the floor. I loved her, you know. Yeah, I know. I loved her too, and that's why I brought her home. Okay, well, I get that now, but why do you want anything to do with me after the way I've rejected and cursed you? Why? Because I love you, Jesus replied. Slowly, Joe rose to his feet and pausing for a moment, he reached for the doorknob and then after taking a deep breath, he opened the door. With so many people's lives and life circumstances being what have taken them down roads, in some cases that appear to be roads of no return, roads of bitterness, roads of regret, being the ones like you and I who were they who too misunderstood why it was that Jesus came and maybe even now is the one knocking upon our life's door. I don't get it. In my life, I've never asked Jesus to come knocking on my door. I mean, I've cursed him and rejected him, and well, people in the world about us likely have placed the blame for their life circumstance upon him. Yet by their or our not realizing that Jesus never was he who had rejected them, nor had turned his back upon any one of us. Jesus only came to save us. Jesus only came to show us his love. Jesus only came to present himself a sacrifice for all.
Amen.
In the light of this very day, whether or not it's you who is in a saved condition or not, I ask you to consider, if you will, this question. If Jesus came to your door and knocked, what would be your reaction? Would you feel fear and apprehension, wondering, well, maybe, why is he here? Would it be you who would attempt to quickly clean house and put away things, those things that you wouldn't want Jesus to see? Or would it be you who would welcome him as an old friend, joyfully, as someone you know well and are familiar with? Really, friends, saints today, just what would your response be? What would your reaction be to Jesus being the one knocking upon that of your house, your heart's door? What would it be? What would you, stare for the peephole and yell at your husband or the family to put things away? Would you say, quick, change, what are you talking about? He's here, he's at the door. Who's at the door? Jesus, come on, hurry up, shut it off. Put that book away. Looking back to the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 20, we find where it reads, behold, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and will sup with him and he with me. It's a scriptural verse that comes at the conclusion of the description of the spiritual condition of various churches and their fallen condition. Some had lost their first love. Some had allowed worldliness and false doctrine to creep in. Some had grown lukewarm, but Jesus was still the one that was there knocking upon their door, wanting them to repent, asking them to forsake their fallen condition and to open the door, let him in. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, would you turn there with me today? Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse number 11. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. We find where the Lord cried out to his people of Israel, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Israel in our day speaks of we, his church, his God's bride. And in the love and the mercy of God, it is he, God, whose desire is for no one to perish and to be lost for all eternity, but who instead waits patiently for them. And he waits for you, as it is Jesus, who even this day is the one that stands at the door and knocks upon your heart and your house. He waits for you. Are you going to let me in? Are you going to leave me standing there? Could you imagine if it was wintertime and that knock comes on the door and you don't want to get up? It's maybe later in the day or early in the morning, and that knock persists, and he waits for you. You're going to leave me standing out in the cold? Are you just going to wait until I finally turn and walk away and go to another house? What are you going to do? So what stops you from inviting Jesus into your house? Are you just too busy to make the time for him? Is it, or could it be, maybe the fear of the unknown? Or is it you who maybe is too fearful what kind of changes he, Jesus, might suggest that you consider to make? Come on, I'm too busy. You know what? We're living in a microwave generation. Everything's quick, and I don't have time to come, and I don't care who's knocking at the door. Just move on. Go away. Maybe you're a salesman or something. Leave me alone. I am busy. I'm getting ready for work. I'm getting ready for dinner. The family's going to be all home together. I don't have time to stop for you. What would he want? I'm afraid I don't know. I don't know why he's here. I don't understand why he chose my door to knock on. What would he tell me to change? What would he ask me to do? What would he make me do? So the reply comes, well, you know, if I open the door and let Jesus in, why, he'll make me, you know, he'll make me change. He'll want me to stop doing some things in my life that, well, even I know that I shouldn't be doing, but I'm happy with my life. I'm just happy the way I'm living, and I don't really care. And if I open that door, I'll feel guilt. No, you won't. You'll feel conviction. Well, I'll feel like I have to. No, you don't have to do anything. It'll be according to your heart that you'll want to.
Amen.
I know what I shouldn't be doing. Maybe that's why I don't open that door. If that's not the reason, I wonder today, are you too clicky? Wherein you only invite those who you're comfortable with into your home, and Jesus sadly isn't one of them. He's not part of my club. He didn't belong to our group. Or finally, is it because of the fact that you and your life and your current state is so full of sin, as well as the things that you know, that if Jesus were to come into your house, you'd be afraid of what it would be that Jesus would both see and find? Could that be the reason? You wouldn't want to answer that door? Boy. If he knew, you know, I go to church sometimes, you know, and the preacher never has knocked on my door, and I'll tell you, if he did, but worse yet, could you imagine if Jesus knocked on my door? If he looked at my books and maybe looked in my shelf where I have these little clip things I listen to, these things that maybe I shouldn't be watching, maybe what I'm sitting down in the morning listening to, the music I play, would I be afraid of what he both see and find? So it was Jesus who one day came to the home of Simon the Pharisee. And I ask you today to consider just how it was that Jesus was received. Turn with me now, please, to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 7. The book of Luke, chapter 7. We're going to begin our reading this afternoon at verse number 36. And one of the Pharisees desired that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman that is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto Simon, "I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most?" Simon answered and said, "Well, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman, and he said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet, and my head with oil didst thou not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with her ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." You see, it was the custom of the land that day to wash the feet of your guests, the guests of the Israelites. Why? Because the Israelites wore sandals instead of shoes, and then they usually went barefoot into the house. Frequent washing of the feet was a necessity, and hence, among the Israelites, it was the first duty of the host to give his guests water for the washing of his feet. And to omit this was a sign of marked unfriendliness. The Bible refers in multiple scriptures and chapters to the greeting of one another with a holy kiss, and this kiss would have been on the cheek or even on the hand. It denoted respect, and basically it meant your good name is safe with me. It was Jesus who came to Simon's house, Simon a Pharisee, a religious person, someone who professed to believe in God. Yet it was Simon who gave Jesus no water to wash with, nor a kiss, because Jesus was not really welcome. No, Simon had other motives, as it was Simon who offered no love, no respect, just criticism. "Look at you, Lord, allowing that sinner woman to touch you. You're not only that, but to wash your feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair. Come on, I thought you were a prophet, a man of great understanding. I mean, look at you. Look at you. Among all my guests, I'm embarrassed. I can't believe what you're doing, what you did, what you allowed." What it was that Simon the Pharisee did not comprehend was the fact that he, Jesus, did not come only with a desire to reach the well-to-do, the upper class, those whose lives were in order and just needed a savior. No, instead it was Jesus whom Luke records in the book of Luke, chapter 5 and verse 32. Luke 5:32, Jesus says, "I came not to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance." Upon the day that Jesus would come to your house and to knock upon your door, if you were to open the door, what you would discover is how that Jesus, God become flesh, had only one purpose and one agenda. And that's none other than for he, Jesus, to be able to redeem your lost soul. He's not coming over because you're somebody special and in the fact of high society, or you got a name, or you have a respectable family. No, he's coming to your house because he's come to seek and save that was lost. He's come to your house because he loves you. He came and knocked on your door because he knew that you needed him. You needed a savior. You needed forgiveness. There you were in the darkness of your life, walking down paths you did not know. And there was Jesus Christ. He was knocking on your door, not to be, "Oh, hey, how are you doing?" But "I'm here for you." Again, it was Jesus who had come to the house of Zacchaeus, a tax collector who used his position to rob others. Turn, please, now to the book of Luke, chapter 19. He came to Zacchaeus' house. Oh, that filthy tax collector. He stole, he robbed, he took. But here we come, Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Today I want you to know that salvation came to Zacchaeus' house. You want to know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because when Jesus knocked, Zacchaeus was the one to open the door willingly and wholeheartedly. And as he did, it was Zacchaeus who repented. It was he who, from that moment on, who was changed and had changed, decided he was going to change. And Zacchaeus was willing to give Jesus complete control of his life from that day forward. Zacchaeus maybe came face to face with a God that maybe he ignored, a God maybe he knew, but he had no attention paid to him. But there he was. Now he's standing before him and he realized, I'm not good. I've stolen, I've lied, I've cheated, I've done wrong. Am I talking to anybody here today? I was in sin, and I didn't love Jesus, and I wasn't looking for him, but now he's here. And you know what? Zacchaeus saw it, and he began to respond. He didn't respond just with his mouth. I'm here to tell you today, he responded with his heart. His heart began to pump within his soul. He thought, you know what? This is a time for change. This is a time I reach out to the God that I'm going to love, and who loved me enough to call me out of that tree. He loved me enough to bring me into my house and to sit and meet with me. Among us today are those who, in their lives, however long ago, are they who opened the door. When it was he, Jesus, who was the one standing on the other side of that door knocking. Those who are among us and who remain are they who, in their lives, upon letting Jesus into their house, in their hearts, are they who, when he, Jesus, came in, it was they who, likened unto Zacchaeus, were willing to surrender their lives and all that they were unto he who had the power to forever change their lives. Amen. And whose promise is one that offers an offer to them, to the whosoever will, the opportunity of their being with him, with Jesus, in his paradise forever. Mm-hmm. 39 years for us coming up. Almost 50, I think, for Brother Wilson. Others even longer and some less. When we go back to that time, we realize that Jesus Christ was the only way, the only truth, and the only life. That the life that we were living was not the direction that was going to take us to heaven, but it was going to see us forever lost in eternity without God. And sadly, those that we know who no longer walk among us are they that are likened unto Simon the Pharisee, who, when it was they who opened the door, when it was Jesus who was the one knocking, they were they whose purpose was not for the purpose of letting Jesus in. Hear me today. Nor likely in their perceiving Jesus was to be their special guest, because he really wasn't. But whose critical hearts and whose doubtful minds were not truly open, nor were they, or shall I say, the ones whose lives were open to changes that Jesus would introduce into their lives. And so sadly, as I've already said, many are they who in their lives have turned and have walked away. Just like the seeds that are sown on the ground. They thought it was great. They loved what they felt. The presence of God touched them. They even received probably most likely the gift of the Holy Ghost. They went down in that water grave in baptism and their sins were washed away. But when it got deep and it got to the point and they realized, I'm not quitting that. I will not stop doing that. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what the preacher preaches. I'm just going to do it. Really? Jesus really wasn't the guest in their house. He was a visitor. He was not the guest. And so thereby, many have turned and walked away. Being the ones to miss out on being the ones to spend their eternity with Jesus Christ for all eternity. You see, it didn't matter to Jesus if one man was of great position while the other was despised. All Jesus wanted was to be welcome and wanted in their home. All that Jesus in his purpose in knocking was to have the door opened unto him in order for he, Jesus, to be invited in. Can I just come in? Can I just be a part of your life? I'm here this day to declare unto you, saved or not, how that he, Jesus, is the one who wants to be invited into your house today. Jesus doesn't care if your house is clean or dirty. Why? Well, because it's Jesus Christ, my friend, who has both the power and the ability to change the very estate of your house, your heart. Mm-hmm. Yes. Once it's you who opens the door and lets him in.
Amen.
He'll take all the ucky away. He'll take all the bad things away.
Mm-hmm.
He'll take that muck out of your life.
Amen.
The sin will be washed away.
Amen.
The Spirit will abide in your life. See, just like Joe in the story that I shared with you in the onset of this message, all Jesus wants is for you to open the door.
Amen.
Just do yourself a favor. Just open the door and let he, Jesus, in. And your life will never be the same.
Amen.
People will look at you. You've changed.
Yes.
There's something about you. I don't understand.
Come on.
I can't believe it. You don't go where you used to go. You don't do what you used to do. Come on, friend. Go back to memory lane. Go back to that time when you walked into the church for the first time in your life and you knelt at an altar and you felt forgiven like you've never felt freedom in being forgiven before. When you felt that power, the Shekinah glory begin to unfold down on you when you went into what you thought was just water. And it is, but you rose from that watery grave to walk in newness of life. And then came that day, if it didn't come already, that Jesus Christ filled you with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
His Spirit dwelt in your temple. And to this day, you've never been the same.
Right.
Just open the door. Just let him in. That's all he wants. Just invite him in.
Right.
It's Jesus who wants to come to your house, your heart. When he does, Jesus offers you a place within you, his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, as I've said. Mm-hmm. Just think about it for a moment. Jesus wants to make your house, your heart, his new home.
Amen.
You ever moved into a different residence from the one that you grew up in? It's your house. It's a new home to you. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 16. 1 Corinthians 3, 16, the Apostle Paul who writes, know ye not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you? A house, a heart where Jesus will be the one to never leave, nor will he forsake you. Within the heart of the house of every soul, I want you to know it is God Almighty who has left for him a void within. A void that only he, God, can fill. A place where only, if you will, if you allow him to, that God will come and dwell there.
Amen.
And he, God, my friend, will forever abide. See, what I'm saying to you is your soul is the temple of God, and God wants to live there in the form of the Holy Ghost. And that's why on any given day, it's God who you'll find hearing in your own life, who's the one knocking on your door, just waiting for you to answer in order for you to let him in. Some need to receive the Holy Ghost even this very day, because it's they who walk about us without truly having any real direction or purpose in their lives. Some among us this day have the Holy Ghost, but they, you, have not been the one to invite Jesus into your home for a long, long time. Well, others among us have let Jesus in, but they, you still keep the doors of certain rooms within your home closed. These are the doors in your heart that you won't allow Jesus to open in order for he in your life to be able to walk in. Oh, yeah, this is the front room, this is the kitchen. What are you staring at? There? Oh, bed's not made. Down there? No. Don't go down in the basement. The kids. Stay out of there. Really? Why? I feel the Holy Ghost, friend. I think God's talking to you. All of you. I don't care who you are. There was a young man who had been raised as an atheist. It was he who was training to be an Olympic diver. The only religious influence in his life came from an outspoken Christian friend. The young diver really never paid much attention to his friend's sermons, but he heard them often. One night, the diver went to the indoor pool at the college he attended. He was heartsick and he was tired of life. Everything just seemed so empty and pointless. He thought that, you know, a few dives and a couple of laps in the pool would help him to come out of his discouragement. Well, the lights were off, and he wasn't sure where the switches were located, but as the pool had big skylights and the moon was bright, there was plenty of light for him to practice by. So the young man climbed to the highest diving board, and as he turned his back to the pool with his feet planted on the edge of the board, he extended his arms out, and he saw his shadow on the wall. The shadow of his body in the shape of a cross. Everything his friend had been telling him about the love of Jesus began to rush through his mind. Suddenly, he felt something he'd never felt before. It was a tugging at his heart, and Jesus was knocking, asking to be let in. As his tears began to flow, he stumbled back to the diving platform, and he fell on his knees, and he raised up his hands to a God that moments before he didn't even believe in. Right there in the shadows of the swimming pool, God filled that young man with the Holy Ghost, and he began to speak in other tongues. Sometime later, the young man rose to his feet and climbed carefully down the ladder to go and seek out his friend to share the amazing experience that had filled his heavy heart full of a joy unspeakable. Well, moments after he left, the maintenance man came in and he turned on the lights. The pool became visible. It had been drained for repairs. I wonder today, what does Jesus want to save you from? If that man would have dived off that pool, it would have been sudden and absolute death. Listen to me, friend, right here, right now, I want you to know Jesus is trying to get your attention. He wants to get your attention. He's knocking on your door. Maybe he's been knocking on your door for years. And I'm not trying to be rude, but there's some people, they put their foot on that door. They turn the music up. They turn their back to that door. They go hide in another one of their rooms, hopefully not to hear it. What? That knocking. And it doesn't stop. Jesus just won't go away. Today, it's Jesus who's knocking upon your door. And it's he, and it's time for you, soul, to open that door to him. You hear me? Quit running. Quit fighting. Why don't you just open the door? Why don't you answer it and let him in? It'll turn your life around. It'll change your perspective on the life that you're living. It'll give you a life that soon is to come. Why don't you just let Jesus in? You hear me? Come on, saints. When was the last time you answered the door? You hear me? And you let Jesus in. When was the last time? When was the last time you were lost in the Spirit and you're praising and praying to God and time just... and went by you, and you suddenly realized that's been a long time. I can't believe it. But he's just as fresh, just as powerful, just as beautiful. To those of you who don't even know what I'm talking about, or who've never taken the time to answer the knock at your door, as it's you who's unsure who it is that's knocking. If you're feeling conviction in your heart, that's God knocking. If you're feeling condemned, that's the devil. He knocks like that. So why don't you let him in? How far down the trail, I'm almost done. How far down the trail, that path that you're walking on, do you want to go? You want to leave this terra firma, this life, whether at whatever age, anything could befall any one of us. Nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. You're pretty much not even promised today. Why don't you listen? Listen to what, preacher? Listen to the knocking at your door. Why don't you answer that and let him in? Would you stand together with me today? As a body of Christ today, as a congregation of people, why don't we just take a moment and raise our hands? Why don't we begin, folks, to thank God for knocking on your door? Aren't you glad? Look at your life, where you were and where you are today. Look at where that path was taking you. But Jesus one day knocked on your door, and even this very day, he's knocking on your door. Whoever you are today in Christ, if you have not done it already, go ahead, friend. Come on. This is time. Do I have to beg you to respond? I hope not. This is time for you to open that door. Open the door. Come on. You can have the Holy Ghost today, right now. God can forgive you. He can put you back where you belong. The Holy Ghost is strong in here, friend. And if you're kicking against it, it's your own fault. Submit. Give your life to God. Open that door. Please trust him.